One of the sort of enduring tropes of this pre-election period is that a vote for Cyril Ramaphosa is essentially a vote for Didi Mabuza and the Zuma faction, because the ANC is just using Cyril Ramaphosa to get them a decent enough election victory, and as soon as he's achieved that, he is out. I have argued with conviction, but perhaps without much authority, that that is easier said than done. And Professor Stephen Friedman argues in a column in Business Day newspaper today, Stephen, good afternoon, that it's just not possible. You can't get rid of him until the next electoral conference in 2022.
Hi, good afternoon, John. Yes, that's entirely correct. If you look at the ANC constitution, the only way you can get rid of a sitting president is through a disciplinary procedure, and presidents tend to control the disciplinary procedures. So that's why there is no recorded instance in the history of the ANC of a president being removed between Congresses. Presidents, as we know, have been defeated at Congresses in a vote, but no president of the ANC has ever failed to serve a term, partly because there is nothing in the ANC rules which makes it possible to remove a sitting president. So if the Zuma people are trying to get Ramaphosa out, their first credible opportunity is at the end of 2022.
That's not what a lot of people are saying. I mean, a lot of people are saying that you can convene a special NEC meeting. You need a majority of the NEC or a majority of provinces to do so, and that might be difficult, but within ANC rules it is possible, and it is then equally possible at that specially convened NEC meeting that the performance of Cyril Ramaphosa could be put up under scrutiny, and he could be found to be wanting, and bye-bye Cyril.
Well, there are a couple of points about that, John. The first one is that, as things stand at the moment, Ramaphosa has a majority on the NEC, so that wouldn't really be possible. But even if he somehow loses the majority on the NEC, I have looked at the ANC constitution extremely carefully. There is no mechanism to do those things. There is nothing in the constitution which enables that. So if anybody were to do that, as I pointed out in the column, then I should imagine it would land up in court. The court would look at the ANC constitution and quite probably rule that what was done was unconstitutional because there is no rule providing for it. I don't think one should minimize. You know, I think it's very important, John, to stress that a lot of these kind of theories are being driven by people who, as I point out in the column, are motivated by fear. There is this constant fear that it's just too good to be true that Ramaphosa could be president of the ANC. There must be some foul plot underway to get rid of him. It must succeed, etc. And once you start basing your analysis on fear, you land up coming to some conclusions which really don't square with the facts. And I think that this is one such case, you know, the other point is that tradition does matter in the ANC. And that's not some kind of, Mary Poppins type of comment. It's because if you try to actually contravene tradition, then people get very angry with you and they say, oh, no, well, this is not the way we used to do things. This is not the way we've ever done things. And as I say, elbowing out sitting presidents in between their term is not something that the ANC has ever done. In fact, I don't think it's anything the ANC has ever contemplated. I mean, Thabo Mbeki was extraordinarily unpopular in many sections of the ANC.
It's important, I think, Stephen, to spend a little bit of time on this, because various listeners are saying you're talking nonsense, because what about Thabo Mbeki? But Thabo Mbeki was not recalled as ANC president. He was defeated in Polokwane, and Jacob Zuma took over as ANC president. And then he was recalled as the president of the country. But is there not something in that would allow for the recall of Cyril Ramaphosa?
Well, he could be recalled if he is defeated at the end of 2022, then he could be recalled in 2023, correct? But as you correctly say, the point there is that neither Mbeki nor Zuma were removed during their term as ANC president. And certainly Cyril Ramaphosa is not going to be removed as state president as long as he is ANC president. So I get back to the point I made earlier. The earliest possible opportunity to elbow out Ramaphosa as state president is the beginning of 2023.
You mentioned the case of Julius Malema. He's one of the people who said he's got very good inside info that Ramaphosa is not going to serve out his first year in this supposedly first full term of his as president. And it struck me when he said that that's wishful thinking. He wants people not to vote for Ramaphosa because he wants them to vote instead for the EFF.
Of course. And that's why he's doing it, because he knows that there are many people, specifically, if we want to use these terms, black middle-class voters, who don't much like the ANC, but do think that they're prepared to trust Ramaphosa. And if they were convinced that Ramaphosa was not going to last, then voting for the EFF would be a very good option for them. But I also point out in the column that there's another aspect to what Malema is saying. And the other aspect is that Malema has tended over the last while or so to be a public mouthpiece of the Zuma faction of the ANC, by which I mean that he says things in public which they can't say. And the Zuma faction of the ANC is also quite keen for the ANC not to do very well in this election, because they are perfectly well aware that if the ANC does very well in this election, their chances of removing Ramaphosa in 2022 are very slim indeed. And the reason for that is that if Ramaphosa can show that he's expanding the ANC vote, then he becomes, putting it quite crassly, but that's how politics works, he becomes the leader who can actually get you a seat on a council or a seat on a provincial legislature or a seat in parliament. So why in 2022, if the ANC vote expands, should people reject the leader who's going to win them seats and choose a leader who's going to lose them seats? Now, the Zuma people are perfectly well aware of that. And so it is very important to the Zuma faction that the ANC get in the low 50s in this election, because if it doesn't happen that way, then they're going to find it very, very difficult to persuade delegates to vote against the president who's expanded the ANC vote.
Another thing coming through from several listeners is, oh, come on, the ANC doesn't care for the constitution, either the country's or its own. That may well be a valid debating point, but the point is that the courts do care about the constitution of both the ANC and the country.
Well, precisely. You know, people who make that argument must explain a case in which the courts have not faithfully interpreted the Constitution and in which that has not been implemented. I mean, the good news, folks, is that we live in a constitutional democracy and that aspect of the system works. The courts are independent, the courts apply the law, and the politicians are expected to obey the law. So it really doesn't matter whether you think ANC people care about their own constitution or the country's constitution. What matters is that people who are aggrieved by something which is unconstitutional, which they inevitably would be, the Ramaphosa faction, would go to court, the courts would apply the law, and I think the reading of the constitution is such that the result would be that they would win in court. You don't base discussions of this sort on the basis of whether you think the politicians are nice people. You base it on whether the law is working in the way it should. And I'd be very interested to hear evidence that on these sorts of issues it isn't working the way it should.
I read something today, an opinion piece from an economic advisory body in Gauteng, and the person being quoted said that it's quite clear that Ramaphosa is going to be a one-term president. And I thought, is it? I'm not sure that one can make any kind of determination about one or two terms for Ramaphosa at this stage, can one? What do you think?
Of course not. On what would that be based? I mean, the point I make in the column is that, you know, Ramaphosa's prospects depend to a significant extent on the outcome of this election. And we don't know the outcome of this election there. If the ANC gets very close to 50% or worse than that, then yes, Ramaphosa will have a huge battle to be a two-term president. If the ANC gets 58 or 59% or better than that, then I think the chances are that if he wants it, which I'm sure he does, Ramaphosa will quite comfortably be a two-term president. So,
particularly, Particularly if the next local government elections show again an increase in vote for the ANC.
Exactly. Because once again, you know, the point, you know, for many, you know, it's very important to understand, you know, it's not a question of whether you think the ANC are nice people or not. It's a question of what is in people's interests and what is not in people's interests. And remember that because of some of the realities of the economy of this country, the difference if you're at, you know, if you're in some parts of the country, the difference between being a councillor and losing your seat is the difference between being middle class and poor. And therefore, a president who can get you into the middle class rather than keeping you poor in local government elections is going to find it very easy to be a second term president if that's what he wants.
Professor Stephen Friedman, thank you very, very much. John